The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
The other area where there is a lot of post-match analysis is in politics and how well the Taoiseach did in navigating the potential threats of his White House visit and what the gains were from that White House visit. And as we were talking about earlier on, we have gotten to the point where the Mail on Sunday is reporting that Simon Harris is eager to extend an invite for Trump to address the Houses of the Oireachtas. Our own Sean Defoe has been following through all of the parts of the visit in Washington. Sean, maybe give us the overarching sense at the end of all of this. Whatever about just the White House piece, the visit thus far, the relationship with American business, the relationship with the vice president, the relationship between the entities like the IDA and their counterparts, good, bad or indifferent?
No, I think broadly good. If you were taking the week as a whole, like, it was an interesting engagement all the way along with various businesses. And he spent an awful lot of time with businesses over there that had an Irish connection, hearing what they need, what they want, what they're looking for from Ireland, what they're worried about now that the Trump regime has come in. And when it came to the political engagements, you know, broadly, they went really, really well. I have to say I was conflicted coming out of the White House and that mad 51-minute Oval Office scrum that it was, and kind of thought he'd done okay, but wasn't very strong, and Trump had walked all over him at times. And the more I sort of looked back on it throughout the week, I thought actually, you know, he did pretty well at the end of it. He got out of there unscathed. I mean, I was talking to a member of Leo Varadkar's backroom team last week who said that usually they go into these kind of meetings with world leaders with three or four things they want to hit on in the meeting and make sure that they mention. But when they were always game planning for Trump, they went in with one thing written down, and that was the time that the meeting was due to finish so that they could just get out there without having the heads chewed off them. And he certainly managed to do that, even if he wasn't as strong. And I think, having spoken to Irish Americans and indeed some of the American press over there, going in and doing what a lot of the opposition parties were calling for, and, you know, eating them out on Gaza, was never going to be on the cards and was never going to be a successful way to do the trip. So I think he comes away with those relationships with the White House strengthened, and it shows that the reception for Irish Americans is still good, both with the vice president and the president. The flip side of it, though, is the very next day he announced tariffs that were going to impact Ireland. So it doesn't matter really if you're friends with this guy, because he has the memory of a goldfish, and the very next day will go after his friends. So did as well as possible, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to insulate Ireland from all of the implications of the Trump White House and its policies.
And of course, the president was not the only obstacle or the only potential threat that the Taoiseach faced. The other was the news that we got that the Burke family had exported themselves to Washington. I don't know if you will have seen it yet, Sean, given the time difference, but the Sunday Independent has a front page picture of the Burkes beside a story saying that the senior pastor in the Westboro Baptist Church has suggested to them that they might want to wind their necks back in a bit, quoted as saying, if they weren't invited, then they shouldn't have been there. That's trespassing. You've lost the dressing room when the Westboro Baptist Church is giving out, haven't you?
You have. You've probably gone one step too far. I thought it was kind of remarkable because I wasn't sure what the reaction would be like at home, but also in America. And when it was just roundly condemnation from every single side, I thought, okay, right, it's not just us. These guys are a bit off the reservation. And it was sort of mad because we knew on the way over, some of the journalists happened to be on their plane, and we were kind of wondering where would they pop up. They did try to do a bit of a protest outside the White House that just didn't take off because they couldn't get anywhere near it. And then obviously protested outside and managed to get their way into the Ireland Fund's dinner, and people would have seen the footage on my Instagram as they were turfed out of it very unceremoniously, leading to a lot of questions about how they got in there in the first place. But it was kind of amusing. I think they were going over there, I don't know, you know, where they got the funds or whether someone was backing them or not, but they obviously went over there trying to get some of the attention of the right wing American media, and they thought they'd got that at the Ireland Fund's dinner when they were kicked out and a bunch of us were kind of kicked out behind them for filming the whole thing and were giving their message. And it took 4 or 5 minutes for them to realize these guys are all Irish. We don't want to talk to them. There's no American media here at all. So kind of strange, kind of surreal. But in fairness to the people inside, they barely noticed. And even the security guards who were involved in kicking them out came up to me afterwards and said, what's going on here? Who are these guys? And I just couldn't explain it in less than 20 seconds for them.
In terms of the big stuff, then, you said that the mercurial nature of Donald Trump means that even if you manage to theoretically form a friendship with him, that doesn't preclude tariffs getting landed the next second. And we see today the IDA chair, Fergal O'Rourke, suggesting that there is a turbulent year ahead. Some of the delegation to the US represents Enterprise Ireland, IDA, and the trade side of things. What's the sense you got from them about what the future holds?
So there's two sides of it in my mind. So one is tariffs and what they're going to mean. And that is going to mean pain, certainly in the short term, if there's no deals that can be done and deals that can be reached between the EU, most of all, and America. This example of the whiskey and the alcohol tariffs just being the latest one that broke while we were over there. And tariffs are 100% coming. You know, speaking to some of the American press who are around him more often, and even to, you know, Sean Spicer, who I met at an event during the week, he said, you know, no, there's no getting around this. He loves tariffs. He is absolutely going to implicate them, even if that means turbulent times for the American economy. And there was an awful lot of conditioning, particularly on Fox News, going on that there will be short-term turbulence. Donald Trump refusing to rule out that there would be a recession in the US, and they're trying to spin it as we're cleaning up Joe Biden's mess and all these terrible deals, like with Ireland, that previous presidents have done, and that's just going to take a bit of a time to rebalance it. There was obviously nearly a government shutdown this week over there as well that was averted when a number of Democrats voted with the Republicans to avoid that kind of shutdown. So that's one side of it. The other side is this rehoming or repatriotizing of the pharma companies and the various different operating plants that we have in Ireland that he wants to get back to the United States. And having spoken to businesses, particularly in Texas, I have to say, where there's quite a lot of manufacturing, there was companies involved in data centers as well, and companies involved in oil. And they were all saying, look, we plan in 10, 15, 20 year horizons. We're not planning in 4 year horizons. And even the people involved in energy companies that I spoke to when I was asking them about, you know, the drill, baby, drill, and changing all of the incentives for green energy, they said, well, look, like, we have these incentives anyway. The oil is going to run out at some point. We're not going to massively change our plans. It might mean a little bit of a hit to the bottom line, but we're going ahead with it. So is he going to prize away a huge amount of the pharma and the manufacturing that goes on here? Probably not, because they're more looking long term to his successor. And by the time you uproot a factory like that, set it up in America, you have so much costs. You don't have access to the same kind of a trained workforce that we have here. So it's 50-50. I mean, I think we're going to face a lot of difficulty economically as a result of this on the tariff side, and I do think there's going to be rough waters ahead, but they might not be quite as bad as some people are forecasting. It's just incredibly hard to know, and this is going to be, which business hates, very uncertain for the next couple of years.
Lastly then, Sean, what about the sense you got in terms of popularity and voter response in the US, or rather electoral response in the US? Because the campaign was about things like cost of living and personal freedoms. So far, much of what has been drawing attention has been things like the desired annexation of Greenland and Canada, and some of the world's dumbest tariff and trade wars. So are a lot of Republican voters asking, what has this got to do with the price of eggs?
Well, yes, to a degree. This was the first time I'd gotten it. It was a very different sense to when I was there in January for the inauguration, that the economy was a big focus in the American media across all of it. And they were starting to go, these tariffs don't make sense. They are pushing up prices for Americans when it comes to the price of eggs is still a huge talking point over there, but reflective of the wider inflation crisis. When it comes then, so that's where he's starting to feel a little bit of pressure, and it moved on as the week went on, because the remarkable thing about Donald Trump, and something I just noticed in the White House again when you see him in person, is his ability to dominate attention at all times and to move the news agenda in a matter of hours. When he's under pressure for something, he says something else that's mad, but he maybe has no intention of following through on, like a Greenland or a Canada or a Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America, whatever it is, and drives the attention in a different direction by just angering people essentially on the mainstream news channels. When it comes to those, when it's chatting to real people, you know, people in the shop, people in Ubers, whatever, about the bigger things, they're kind of just saying, ah, that's Trump, isn't it? Of course he says this about Canada. It's a bit ridiculous. They don't really care about the EU and what impact that's going to have. And a lot of them are just trying to go along to get along. Their life isn't affected that much by who the president is. But certainly, if there is one thing that could impact his popularity over the next couple of years and put him into pressure as he heads up to the congressional elections in 2 years' time, it is that idea of inflation. And as I say, they were very much on the Republican side trying to condition the American people to there is going to be some short-term pain here and it will pay off for America in the long term. But obviously, if you get 2 years down the line and they're still feeling high prices that they promised, were promised that he would cut, that's a very different thing.
Sean, thank you very much. Sean Defoe there in Washington. That's News Talk's political correspondent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.